This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you and good afternoon. The state crop report says that overall it was a good week for much of the state, with only a few reports of wind damage to corn from severe weather, and spraying for weeds and insects were the major field activities. Statewide, the average temp was 76.1 degrees, precip averaged about an inch, and there were 4.5 days suitable for field work during the week ending on July 17th. Topsoil moisture supply was 1% very short, 9% short, 80% adequate, and 10% surplus. Subsoil moisture supply rated 1% very short, 11% short, 83% adequate, and 5% surplus. Corn silking reached 77% compared to 69% last year, and corn dough was at 5% compared to 12% for the 5-year average. Corn condition rated 2% very poor, 3% poor, 15% fair, 58% good, and 22% excellent. Soybeans blooming were at 60% compared to 49% last year, and soybean setting pods had reached 15%. Soybean condition rated 2% very poor, 4% poor, 18% fair, 59% good, and 17% excellent. And now we're going to take a few minutes to check in with Syngenta Agronomy Service Rep Nate Prater. Nate covers a fairly large territory, but he says disease pressure is about the same throughout all of his region, and water hemp varies the farther north you move.
I cover basically Interstate 70 from east to west across Illinois, and I go up as far north as north of Springfield, north of Champaign, east and west across the state. So I get to cover not only the good dirt, but also maybe some of the stressful areas in Illinois.
And we were talking a little bit beforehand, and you see some different things in different areas throughout your territory. And one thing that you're seeing change is the progression of water hemp. So talk to us a little about that and what you're seeing.
You know, what we're seeing is, and you see it more and more, is we know that water hemp can be a tough weed control. From my southern geographies, we've dealt with it down there for 2 or 3 years now. And as it progressed north to north of Pena, if you were to go up Route 51 and on up into that Assumption and north of their area, is guys are finding out that not only can the water hemp be resistant to glyphosate, we're also possibly finding some resistance to PPO products such as Cobra, Alta Blazer, or Flexstar. Now, the difference between those two is with glyphosate, you know, the weeds get up and you can spray them and it really doesn't affect them. It does in certain cases, but now we're seeing more and more glyphosate resistance. The PPO resistance, however, if the weeds get up over 2 or 3 inches, the water hemp, I mean, get up over 2 or 3 inches tall, we can't apply enough herbicide to control those weeds. We can't overwhelm the pest with the herbicide. However, with soil applied products like Flexstar or Nifomisafen, those weeds still can be controlled. So the resistance is not as hard as maybe an ALS resistant or some other product. But what we're finding is the taller you let the weeds get, the harder they are to kill, and that's going to be a battle we're going to fight for a few years until we get things, whether it be new products, new technologies, something on the market that will really help control these tough-to-kill weeds.
And not only do you see weed pressure, also disease as well, and that's something that surprisingly you said is pretty equal across the whole area. You're seeing about the same thing in all of your region.
Correct. And when it boils down to corn disease, the earlier planted corn that is pollinated, tasseled, moved into that brown stuff or R2 stage, really didn't have a ton of disease show up in it early at tasseling. And what we're seeing now with the rains we got the 4th of July, the heat and humidity, gray leaf spot and common rust are really moving up in these plants, and and guys can still get a yield kick out of protecting some of these varieties in certain fields, especially corn on corn or fields that have a variety that's susceptible to certain diseases like that. Down south or in areas where corn was a little bit later planted, it seems like we aren't seeing a ton of disease. Some common and southern rust is showing up earlier than normal, which is a concern because it's not going to get any better. But it's definitely something we're going to have to keep an eye on as the plant progresses and things get a little taller. The other things we're seeing with soybeans is frog eye leaf spot moved farther north last year than we'd ever seen it. We've seen it in a lot of areas and we normally didn't, and that has the potential to do that again this year. The other thing we're seeing is quite a few stink bugs in the soybeans, along with Japanese beetles and grasshoppers. So an insecticide and a good fungicide, I think will definitely pay dividends when it comes to this fall in soybeans.
And once again, that report comes from Nate Prater, an agronomy service rep for Syngenta. And we'll have more farm news after this. Several recent media reports say that USDA Secretary of Ag Tom Vilsack is among a handful of candidates being considered as a potential nominee for vice president and running mate for Hillary Clinton on the Democratic ticket. Politico reports the biggest shortcoming for the former Iowa governor as a candidate might be a lack of foreign policy experience. His response was, quote, "Here's what I know about foreign policy. The United States must be at the center of every problem globally. We must lead. I understand that," end quote. Vilsack told NBC he's happy to talk about all aspects of government, and in his words, he told NBC to bring it on. In other news, organic food sales in the U.S. were estimated at $37 billion last year. The Nutrition Business Journal says organic sales accounted for 5% of overall food sales in the country. This increase comes as USDA reports the number of certified organic operations in the U.S. increased 12% to 21,000. Fresh fruits and vegetables are the top-selling category, followed by dairy products. Most of those fruits and vegetables don't travel far before they're sold. The first point of sale for 80% of those products is less than 500 miles from the farms. The top 10 states for sales in 2014 accounted for 78% of products bought, and California was number one on that list. A separate survey also found that almost 700 farms with no current organic production are transitioning into full-time organic production. And on a final note this afternoon, U of I Extension and the Jersey County Farm Bureau are sponsoring a field day on August 2nd at the Sheeter Farm in Brighton. The theme for the event will be cover crops and integrating livestock systems, challenges, and solutions. Dinner will be provided for those who register in advance, and field activities will begin at 5:30 p.m. and end at 8 o'clock. The program is free of charge, but they do require advanced registration. To register for the field day, you can visit the U of I Extension website or call the Jersey County Farm Bureau at 618-498-9576. And again, that's the U of I Extension and the Jersey County Farm Bureau field day on August 2nd at the Sheeter Farm in Brighton. And that's all we have today for your WSMI Farm Show. I'm Katie Wilson.